Next on BYUSN, busy times get busier for BYU basketball with the new head coach and players in the transfer portal. What is the top priority right now for Cougar Hoops? Plus, it's NFL draft day. We look closely at the latest projections and debate if BYU will have more than one player selected in this year's draft.
Jonathan Tavernier joins the program to talk about the Cougars' top priorities the first week under Kevin Young and his pitch to Holland Saunders to come back. And interesting comments from Peyton Manning and Mark Schlereth about new Bronco Zach Wilson.
It's always a good day when Peyton's in your corner. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, April 25th. I am Spencer Linton. He is a man who can say whatever he wants to today, Jerem Jordan.
Does the FCC govern the BYU TV app as well? I'm not sure. So we can just really open it up. What do you want to talk about with recruiting? No, we're on the app only today. We got the graduation. Commencement is in the Marriott Center. So
we got benched, Jerem.
We got benched. That's all right. I've got a cousin in there. I got uncles and aunts. I got to go say hi. Miss Congeniality had a funny moment about today's date, by the way.
The movie.
Describe your perfect date. That's a tough one. I'd have to say April 25th because it's not too hot and it's not too cold. All you need is a light jacket.
Which actually applies for the weather today in Utah.
Is it going to rain?
It might rain, slight here? Chance, but cooler temperatures. So when it dips into the evening, you know, not too hot. All you need is a light jacket. Nice. I thought that was appropriate.
It is appropriate.
Underrated comedy, by the way. I think that's a very funny movie.
I think it's rated properly.
I think it's a very funny movie. Oh, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Do you want to come off the bench your whole career? Or do you want to develop into main guy at BYU? Elite hire. It's a new era at BYU. It's a new type of energy that if you're a recruit, you'd be foolish not to jump on.
Let's prioritize, shall we? Because on the list of priorities for BYU basketball are more than a few bangers. Big time items for head coach Kevin Young to take care of, including getting himself to Provo, Jerem. He's still with the Phoenix Suns. Like, you'd like to have your head coach in place.
He's flying in and out to Provo, man. He's busy.
He's working on his staff, working on the portal, working on putting together that roster for BYU, trying to coax some players back. What is the top priority for BYU basketball as it currently stands?
It's recruit players that's both in the portal and on the roster and the new ones. It's that combination. Certainly you want to get your staff together to help you recruit. But you can be recruiting, and you can have your staff almost in place and doing work, even though it may not be finalized, right? He's got his one guy in Brandon Dunson. He needs to get an ops guy. Will there be a sort of general manager-type person over the program, given the NBA history with Kevin Young here? I think it's recruit. Recruiting is how you're going to get a talented roster that's going to win you games. And so it is recruit. It is trying to get Dallin Hall back. It is seeing if there's a chance you can get Richie Saunders back. Who else can you get in the portal to amplify and accelerate what your team can do? It is recruit the players right now to me.
At the top of that recruiting list is where I start, and that's with Dallin Hall, who, by the way, was shown playing golf yesterday, I'm assuming somewhere in the Omaha, Nebraska area, courtesy of former Utah State Aggie and now Creighton Blue Jay Steven Ashworth.
Lone Peak Knight.
Where did the shot go? We'll have to find out from Dallin later. Hopefully in the direction of Provo, Utah.
Steven posting this is something, isn't it?
Can you do this? Are we to that point where it's just like, nah, whatever, Wild West, throw it out there.
Keeping score, it's all good. He posted that. If Dallin goes to Creighton, they'd have a two members of the church backcourt. Playing for the Blue Jays.
An all-RM, potentially starting backcourt.
A winter quarters backcourt.
Holy cow.
That's wild.
For me, it's Dallin Hall. And that's why, not surprisingly, Kevin Young spent a considerable amount of time in a shortened amount of time when he was here to be introduced as BYU's head coach. He was meeting with Dallin Hall before he went and officially introduced himself to all of Cougar Nation. And we were told, hey, there's a reason that this could potentially start a few minutes late, and it's because Kevin Young is talking to Dallin Hall. Everything started on time, but this to me says, okay, priority number one, Kevin Young knows what a valuable asset Dallin Hall is. Mark Pope made no bones about it. Like, he said on several occasions, He's probably our most important player because of everything that he does. I've been driving the downhill train forever. I'm not about to get off now. Downhill is top priority. I want him back at BYU. And if we're talking about recruiting and the transfer portal, check, check, Dallin hits both of those marks. If you bring him back, immediately I feel way better about where BYU basketball is and start to think again, all right, this is a top half Big 12 basketball team again. I feel like he's that important to hold the core together.
Jared. I would have to add, yes, I want all that. I would need to see like two or three capable guys come in for me to feel like BYU's top half again. They have to get to that point because they're losing pieces, right? You don't easily replace Jackson Robinson or Colin Chandler, right? But BYU's being very active among high school guys, Europeans, and, of course, the portal. So I'm stoked what the next couple of weeks are going to look like as we see, you know, certain guys getting in the top five out of the portal for BYU that average 21 a game, you know, at a smaller school. Like, there are guys that are very interested in BYU. And if you look on Twitter and from what we're hearing behind the scenes, it's going well. Like, BYU is competing in recruiting.
Yes.
In a place that I don't think they've really been recently. Obviously, getting a certain high-profile recruit earlier in the week was big time. I think that's the tip of the iceberg. Like, I think BYU is going to pull in some real talent here, and we're going to be very excited about it. And that's what you got to do. You got to get Dallin Hall back. Can you get Richie Saunders back? If you don't, you move on, you continue to recruit. But let's go, man. It's exciting. Dallin is a very important piece. It'd be great to have him. He's not easily replaceable. He is a BYU guy, but certainly Dallin's got to assess what he wants with this.
Kevin Young is winning behind the scenes. It's now just a matter of getting him into his chair at BYU full time so that he can continue to win more efficiently at a higher rate and a higher speed.
Let's go, T-Wolves! I feel bad because he works there and everything, but like, you know what I didn't care about when Bronco Mendenhall got the Virginia job? Anything about Virginia. When BYU played Utah, that staff was not coaching up BYU to beat Utah. They were recruiting for Virginia. Like, that was their job. I don't blame them. I understand it. So he's in two camps, right? And certainly he wants the Suns to succeed, but I don't. I want him here in Provo getting things all just going. This is a really important time with the portal open. It's like guys need to jump in, and then they can jump out at any time. But, like, you're trying to retain – Dallin Hall on this roster, so let's go, man.
I'm looking at some of these top performers in the portal. Dallin Hall is one of them, but other big names, and like you were just mentioning just a moment ago, seeing BYU in lists of like Final Five for some guys, I'm like, whoa.
There's a certain
I can't believe BYU's in his top five, but this is Kevin Young.
I can believe it, given the way the offense performed last year, given the hire, given the kind of rep and support. Like, everyone knows about BYU's win at Kansas. Funny thing yesterday, I got a message from someone connected to the program with BYU who's a scout in the NFL, or MLB, and Duquesne came out for the Pirates, and he said, I had nothing to do with this. I was like, get him off the field!
So this from that Jeff Borzello this morning.
Still hurts.
Jeff Borzello, guy we pay close attention to during the college basketball season, writes for ESPN. He released his way too early top 25. Notably, the biggest faller in his top 25 was, unfortunately, your BYU Cougars, who were at number 14 in his last poll. And then,
pretty high.
Because Mark Pope leaves and Richie Saunders and Dallin Hall and Ali Khalifa and Jackson Robinson are all in the portal or have found other destinations. Yeah. Now they drop out and... interestingly enough, they're also just out with Mark Pope's Kentucky Wildcats. If Dallin Hall comes back...
Wait, Kentucky's out? Because they don't have a roster?
Correct. Kind of like BYU.
Who's on the roster?
Well, BYU's got half of a roster. And I still feel like I still buy into what the players told me. Like, hey, we're getting closer. Not saying that BYU has 13 scholarship players, but I trust the players when they say Kevin Young's working hard and we're getting closer to having a full roster.
Assuming that the five that haven't jumped in the portal are returning and that the two that are expected to come in, there's six spots.
And maybe one or two of those spots are just kind of a matter of days before something is announced.
I would imagine that's the case.
We'll see.
I bet it's close.
But if you're
are
eight
you
or nine.
Are you telling me it's close or are you guessing it's close?
I'm telling you it's close.
Let's go.
Brother. I'm telling you.
Let's like, go, baby.
If it's eight or nine, like if you've got eight or nine guys, that's a pretty good chunk of your 13 scholarship players.
And I want a spot or two kind of still open there.
Sure.
I don't want 13 players right now.
You want some leverage to move?
Yes, there's some negotiating going on. Perhaps even, bidding wars if it comes to that for certain high-profile guys. Let's go. I am excited about what the next couple of weeks are going to look like for BYU basketball.
After Dallin Hall, it just becomes like general roster, but I would love size. Sure. Number two on my priority list in terms of who to recruit, it's big men.
You need three more.
Yes. You have Noah Waterman, who's 6'11", and you have Foose, who is 6'6". But Noah's not a big guy.
We're talking front court.
He's very much a stretch four. Yeah. Foose is your guy. Atiki, from what I've learned, is most likely gone. I think it's a mutual parting. He's
not
coming back.
You're in the portal,
you're out. Sure. Yeah. BYU needs size. So Dallin Hall and then just straight big men. Let's go. Those are other priorities.
Topic two. Well, BYU have over under 1.5 players drafted in the NFL draft, which begins tonight.
I am feeling optimistic, specifically about Ryan Rico. Jerem, he was so good at Big 12 combine days.
Yeah.
That's what we're calling him. He was so good. I mentioned it to you on the air when we were doing the show live. People, different scouts from all these programs and from these franchises were watching and dropping expletives in awe at just how
I love a good
he was
expletive awe. Whoa!
And just how good he was. And not only there, but he was good at the combine. He's been good in all of his individual workouts, and he was good at Big 12 combine days.
He's awesome, dude.
Rico is legit. He could go in the 7th round and be picked up. And guess what? If you're a special teamer and you're a specialist like he is, special being the operative word, and you get picked in the 7th round, they 100% are invested in you and want you.
You will start.
Yes. Yep. So, and I'm not the only one that thinks he might go. The Athletic has him going in the 7th round to my Cincinnati Bengals. CBS Sports has him going in the 6th round to the Packers. He'll fall somewhere in there. He'll be a high-level free agent if he is not picked. But I think Ryan has a great chance to get drafted. So I'm leaning over with Kingsley and Ryan as the two draft picks.
Who knows if a punter gets drafted? We know that Torrey Taylor will be from Iowa because all they did was punt this year. The Ray Guy Award. They had people in the stands that were like, punting is awesome. But I don't know with Ryan. Hopefully, it'd be great. If he's not, I don't really care. I know he's going to be on a roster. We know he's that good. We know that Kingsley Suamati is going to be drafted.
Yes.
There's a chance it's tonight. In fact, when you look at NFL Draft mockdatabase.com,
love that site.
Fun website, they give him a 32% chance to be drafted tonight. And you see Kuiper has him in the second there. Jordan Reed has him early in the second, PFF in the second. So second is where he's
the
projected
consensus,
to go.
No doubt.
Yes, it is the consensus. Other guys in the mix, according to that website. Rico is the next highest prospect at 272 overall. Not where he's picked, just overall rank. Keaton Slovis, 310. Azarek, 406. Nobody else is ranked. So we're hoping that, those guys are going to get undrafted free agent opportunities. Max Thule, A.J. Vongpachon, Isaac
Hecker.
Rex, Eddie Hecker. Yeah, I mentioned Isaac, but those that came to Garrett, perhaps, like minicamp or something, that those guys, and there's the numbers I alluded to, or said, have an opportunity here. Kingsley's going to get drafted for sure, which, by the way, three straight left tackles, dog. Brady Christensen in 21, Blake Freeland in 23, Kingsley Suamati in 24. This is a left tackle factory.
Who's next?
This is awesome. Caleb Etienne, Braden Keim, there's some real good guys in high school right now in Utah Valley that hopefully BYU can pick up, and in a couple years we're talking about them in the draft. BYU is a factory for left tackles right now, so congratulations to Kingsley. If he goes tonight, he's going no later than tomorrow, we think, second, third round. But will we get another one? That is the question, bro. Will there be somebody else? I'm not sure. It matters, but it's not that big a deal. I would love to feel confident that we were going to have three drafted, Spence, a year.
Sure.
3 to 5 is the sweet spot. So it's a little down this year, but if you look at, as we talked about with Hans Olsen the last couple of years, BYU's in a good spot in the draft if you look at the last three or four years.
Yes. Let's not forget, there was a recent time when BYU had three total draft picks in a six-year period.
It was bad.
It was not good.
2011 to 2016. Yeah.
It was Ziggy, Kyle, then a break, and then Bronson Kafusi.
And if you just go 15, you could go 2 and 5. Like, not good.
It was not good.
Yeah, so then you go, okay, and remember, we've talked about this. The 2018 and 2019 classes were big time for BYU because you go ahead to 21, you have five picks, including number two, right? Then in 22, you just have the one, but it's Algier. He's awesome.
And you still had three other guys that were coming back all to play at BYU that were on the roster the previous year.
And then 23, you have three more guys. And then in 24, you're going to have one, maybe two. So continue to cultivate that, and let's get three-plus a year. Let's start to recruit to that level where you recruit. And the guys that BYU puts in there, many of them are very effective players. It's not like they're just hanging on and backups.
Sure. Every year having someone drafted matters. Every year having multiple guys drafted really matters. And BYU is kind of in that, they're kind of on the border of that area. Hopefully it happens this year where you get multiple guys in spite of a five.
Like, what if Keaton slipped into the seventh? That'd be sweet.
That would be amazing. Come on. How many quarterbacks going to be drafted? It all kind of just depends on
a million in the first round.
What the other teams do.
Tonight's good. And we watch with abated breath what the Broncos do at 12. If they reach on a quarterback, and that affects Zach Wilson. Right? Yeah. We watched that tonight.
Some strong opinions, specifically from Mark Schlereth, which we will address in about 30 minutes, about why the Broncos should not draft a quarterback at number 12. He's in Zach Wilson's camp, along with Peyton Manning. Goodness. Our question of the day as we switch back over to basketball. A lot of things happening for Kevin Young right now. What's the top priority for him and BYU basketball right now? Yep. Jim Roberts on X answers, two more wins for the Timberwolves.
Yes. Like, I feel bad, but also I want Kevin Young here doing stuff.
Earlier this week, I was like, I'd like to see Kevin, like, leave Phoenix on a high and, like, you know, do well.
We don't owe Phoenix anything.
I fully shifted my camp. I'm like, no, just get here.
We don't owe them
we
anything.
We need you in Provo.
Love you, Kevin, but
this
sorry,
Phoenix team
sorry,
is
Suns
not
going
to do anything special in the playoffs. They're just not. No. So that stinks for Kevin in that regard, but we need him in Provo. Tesla Rob 14 on X answers, you can't go to war without the Warriors. Mm. I think finalizing the roster is the short-term answer, but in the long term, the assistant coaches may have a greater impact.
Well, I just think right now it's hot and heavy with the players.
Okay, which he says short-term, that's the short-term answer.
Well, they're the ones that win the games. You need them.
What is long term? Is he talking like 3 to 4 years? Like, it depends on how he's
assistants are
characterizing.
Yeah, assistants come and go just like the players will now.
Hashtag BYUSNX Facebook and Instagram.
Who lasts more? Who lasts longer at BYU? Players or coaches now? Since you can transfer.
It's an unfortunate question.
Yeah. Join us Saturday, noon to 1 Eastern from the Dallas Fan Fest in Carrollton. We'll be at the Josie Ranch Athletic Complex live on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Gonna be humid, dog.
Shorts and t-shirts, Jerem. Shorts and t-shirts. Up next, former BYU sharpshooter Jonathan Tavernari is back to share his opinions on the top priority for Cougar Hoops right now. And how does he feel Kevin Young is doing after a week into his official hire? This is BYUSN.
We can show. A little bit of Dallin, maybe.
Yeah, we're waiting on a couple of other guys to get to Provo and to be officially announced by BYU before we can add some more in. One guy we can certainly mention is former sharpshooter Jonathan Tavernari, who is with us on BYU Sports
Station. What up, Doc?
Great to have you back in Studio B for more day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play.
I am eternally grateful that NIL was not around back when I played.
You would have been gone?
Because I would have been gone, and I wouldn't be able to be here with you guys and have the legacy that I have and that I built here at BYU. Because what just the way things are right now to me is unrecognizable. But that's the way it is, right? And so here we are, a part of it.
And here we are where the highest paid NBA assistant coach is now the head coach of BYU basketball.
Looking at all of the candidates, and I knew, like, I understood when he interviewed and he was part of the process when they hired Mark Pope. But the way that he climbed, let's just say that, the coaching ladder in the NBA, there was no way that I'm like, there's no way. And any of the three levels or whatever you want to go out of, he is not leaving the NBA. He's a head coach in waiting. I mean, how many interviews did he have to be the head coach?
Woj said he interviewed for at least 9 teams the last several years.
My goodness. And so, you know, word is that, you know, also with the Nets, he might have turned it down. Also, you know, it's here, you know, he said, she said, but he was right on the mix, you know, and for him to then choose BYU, I didn't see that coming at all.
JT, he's locked in a four-star recruit who flipped from a different school. We can't mention his name until he goes official with BYU because, you know, we got to be compliant. All of that, all those rules.
Does that apply to me as well?
Nope.
So we're the ones that can't do it.
Can I talk about a conversation I had on the phone last night with said person?
Sure. Tell us, what'd you learn?
No. But I think we're talking about the same person.
Yes.
Yes.
So already he's gotten his own boots on the ground. We think he might be in Utah today before Phoenix plays the Timberwolves.
Unsure,
we don't know,
but probably.
But the way things are going, he's flying back and
Minnesota before. Okay.
How would you assess what Kevin Young has done in a very challenging, unique situation in the, what's now, 8 days that he's been BYU's head coach?
First of all, the press conference was awesome. You got a feel for who he is, and you know I was grateful to be a part of that and be there. I will say this, and it was interesting reading the perspective of the fans on what they think it's most important, and I think all of those perspectives are valid. I would personally say that I agree with you. We need Kevin here, more importantly than assistant coaches, right? However, there's a situation with Phoenix is still playing in the playoffs, so. The very next thing is, you know, having a new assistant coach just recently hired and officially, you know, announced. I think that's the very next most important thing. So that guy can start talking with recruits, can start reaching out to current players that are on a portal, trying to bridge the gap that Kevin cannot be 100% in right now because of the situation the Suns are in. But then after that, I would agree with, you know, the comment about the Warriors and having the players on. You know, it is interesting. You know, I personally feel, and my thinking is, it might be a little bit. I thought it was going to be a little bit easier to get Richie back, you know, than Dallin, you know. But having Dallin being at the press conference, I thought it was interesting. I thought it was a positive note. Means that, you know, he's invested on, you know, considering here. I don't like the picture that Steve Ashworth put, you know, of them golfing. And so I hope that Steve Ashworth shot, you know, like a 90 on that round.
Brother Ashworth.
But what I would say is, you know, how can you mitigate, I don't know if that's the right word, but how can you calm the waters and until Kevin gets here? I don't know the answer to that. I think there's multiple ways that you can approach that. But to me, that's the number one question. What can you do between today and when Kevin is officially done with the Suns to make sure that you build the roster for next year, you keep the players, you are also investing in the portal, which is something you have to do every offseason now, to make sure that, you know, those 13 scholarships that you have are filled. And I love what you said. Have one or two spots to be flexible, because you never know when you may be able to get, you know, one of those types of point guards that we have a couple of years back with Mark Pope that can come in, can be a one-year guy, a one-year.
Like a Brandon Avery.
Brandon Avery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
frankly, an Alex Barcelo type.
Well, I forgot the name of the last one that we had that ended up coming off the bench.
Rudy Williams.
Somebody like that can come in and be a one-year rental on somebody that buys into the philosophy of what we live.
Everybody's a one-year rental now. You know what I mean?
And there's
at least
that.
One.
And the crazy thing about that is, long are the days. Like, I remember when we were here together and you were getting all of this started.
Yeah, it was me.
Well, you know what I'm saying. Like, you know, take a little bit of credit.
I wish.
But it was about education. It was about, like, building a community. It was about coming to BYU, which, as I said, like, I'm grateful for that. I didn't have the temptation to have to deal with that, of going for $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000. I, you know, looking back after my freshman, sophomore, and junior year, I could have gotten a bag. I couldn't have gotten a gym or bag, but I could have gotten paid because of how I played. But now, my relationship with fans, my relationship with the media, my relationship in the BYU community in Cougar Nation, it's priceless. I'm grateful I never had to deal with that, because now it's not about all of that. It's about how much can you get paid. I was in shock on a tweet that I read about Ali Khalifa that said, you know, per his agent, that he went to Louisville, you know, with this NIL money. And I'm like, Long gone are the days about the pageantry and the way that college sports do and the rivalries. It's all about who can get paid the most now, and, you know, and where can you go from there.
I'm hoping, and it's almost impossible at that age, having been that age, but not in their situation, of knowing, hey, if you can get like 75 or 80% of that amount of money, but here you're going to get 1,000% of other stuff. For the rest of your life.
Your network's going to be incredible.
Can you can you sacrifice that extra X amount somewhere else to understand legacy, relationships, business, family, the honor of being here? Like, can that settle in someone's mind at that age? I'm hoping it can.
It took Congress almost 2 years to get to a point that they're going to ban TikTok. And I don't think that this newer generation is going to get to a point of that anytime soon. And everything that you hit, you know, the way that Mark Pope talked about NIL, you know, like with Trey and having his clothing line, with, you know, our African brothers on the team that created foundations. Look at Gideon George.
Gideon George's influence.
Gideon gets it, yep. Which is why I firmly believe, being an international player myself, and I know my numbers speak for themselves, what I did here, in terms of impact off the court, I will say that what Gideon has done, you know, only doesn't trump Krešimir Ćosić. Because what Gideon has done to impact other people's lives is incredible.
And back home.
Back home, yeah. Exactly. But yeah. I don't think everybody's going to have that mentality. I think right now,
it's rare.
Including, you know, BYU is a very special place. And, you know, I'm extremely excited about this recruit that, you know, he who shall not be named. you know, and so, you know, and the reason why I would say is I had a really good conversation with him. And I've spoke highly of him, of his style of play.
You said on Twitter, yeah. You believe he's a bigger get than Colin Chandler.
100%.
Which is quite the opinion.
It is, yeah. Right? And I will say this, though, with my basketball takes. I say some crazy stuff.
What?
But I'm not that wrong a lot. You know? And here's what I say. You know, you look at somebody where they are and where they can be. And talking with him, I showered him with compliments, not because I want to make sure that he feels comfortable, he feels welcome, but because it's the truth. Now, he and I are going to do a few things, and I'm going to try to share my experience with him. But I truly, I firm believe that. And he, to me, the key to Kevin, you know, and you mentioned that, is it 3-4 years? What does long-term mean? To me, the long-term success of Kevin Young, which Mark Pope did a really pretty good job setting up, you know, with the high school kids, where you can have them here for 2, 3, 4 years in a row minimum. Look at Dallin, looking at Richie, and looking at, you know, Colin is not here anymore, but looking at this, you know, this kid coming in.
It was going that direction.
But I think that's the key. And you get guys that are familiar with BYU, that they buy into it, and then hopefully we can find some of those kids where, you know, money is important, but they see above the next 4 years of their lives.
The recruit and soon signee that we're mentioning, UCLA told him, we think you're the next Jaime Jaquez, who's on the Miami Heat. Like, that would be awesome.
That's a fantastic
And that's
comparison.
A good comp, right?
Yeah. Well, and I told him, I said, look.
Mick Cronin is no soft opinion either.
He's not going to give you.
And I told him, I said, with your body and the way you play the game, you are a legit. He's a legit 2-3 inches taller than me.
Hey, I guess BYU does have more than one guy above 6'6". Now, when the signing
comes, he's 6'7".
He's 6'7".
And I say this. I'm like, take it what I say with a grain of salt. But the way he plays is very, very similar to how I played. But he's much more explosive, right? He is taller. He can jump in ways that I could never do it, even in my best. And I told him, I said, you're the prototypical NBA player. Where you're 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", you can put the ball on the floor, you can catch and shoot, you got a very high shot. I'm like, you have, like we say it in Brazil, you have the knife and the cheese in your hand, all you do is slice it. And he has all
I never learned that one on my mission.
Well, it may be a São Paulo thing. but he has all of the tools in place to be a phenomenal player, not only here at BYU, but also to play at the next level. I firmly believe that. You look at guys like Tobias Harris, and I know that Rudy Gay is a little bit taller, but he fits that prototype.
Yeah.
Where he is lean, he is long, he is quick, he's agile, he can shoot the leather off the ball. And so
athletic stretch four, man.
And I said it when we didn't get him at the beginning. I'm like, we are missing on a big time player. And you know, and sometimes, you know, the man upstairs, when you open a wrong door, you know, he leads you to the right one because you're doing things the right way. I'm so happy that he's going to be here. I think he's going to be fantastic.
Let's finish up with this. Going back to Dallin Hall, who we joked was playing golf with Stephen Ashworth, and we hope Stephen double bogeyed every hole, and Dallin had a terrible time on the golf course. And
well,
we
love you, Dallin.
He's coming back.
Love
we
you,
love,
Dallin.
We love Dallin here. People are upset because we love Dallin.
Boy, is it better in Provo.
All the golf Dallin wants in Provo, certainly. That's some sort of deal
we need.
That we can work out. I digress, but no question, some other big-time programs are going to offer him bigger money.
Yeah,
hey, like that is going to happen. But as Jaron was referencing, if BYU can give you 70% of that number or 80% of that number, and it feels like the Royal Blue Collective is doing that.
They're being very competitive.
Okay,
with Dallin,
like these aren't like ho-hum numbers.
Yes,
the collective is throwing out 70 to 80%. In terms of what Duke and Creighton can offer, like, is that enough to come back? Because I will put BYU's network up against anybody. Like, Stanford and the Ivy League schools are probably that next elite level tier. BYU's not far off from that as far as the network goes.
And I agree with that. I think it goes.
And you got a coach that can develop NBA talent.
And I think that those two are the keys. You know, who is going to be the salesman that gets that delivered? I love the fact that Craig Cusick heads up the basketball part of the collective. I think, you know, would Craig have transferred for more money? I don't know, right? Would he have been the type of player that performed and got that? But the way I look at Craig is the way that he developed his relationship with Ryan and Qualtrics and his business perspective.
He wouldn't be in the position he is today if he didn't stay at BYU.
And that's my point, right? And I think that when you have to figure out a way to hit the nail right on the head when you're talking about these things, about your legacy, about your network, I cannot tell you the amount of job offers and opportunities that I have today because I speak the languages that I speak, and also because they're like, oh man, I loved what you did your senior year where you decided to come off the bench and be unselfish and be a team guy. Oh, I loved watching you play. And so connections that, to be frank, they go above and beyond just Provo, Utah, and Utah and the Silicon Slopes. It's a worldwide network that we have access to, and I think that you need to tap into that.
I can tell you that someone in business talked to Richie and Dallin this week about this exact perspective, by the way. I can tell you that.
I love that those conversations are happening.
Yes.
It's
yes.
critical.
Because I'll say this, you know, not all of us, and I did play professionally for, you know, about a decade in Europe, and so I get it. But now that I'm in the business world, I will say this. Not everybody's going to have a chance to make a living the way Jimmer, you know, has done, or the way Brennan Davis has done. You know, you're going to have to figure out a way, what are you going to do after you retire? And I understood that. And I saw the vision that I needed to stay here so I could stay connected to BYU. I could stay connected to the network, you know, to be able to have the relationships that I do, that I can pick up the phone and I can call, you know, a couple of billionaires, and I can call guys that have made, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in transaction and say, I need your advice on this, or I need your guidance on that. Those things are priceless, but you have to look at the bigger picture, right? It's not only about this life. You know, you got to look at the grand plan of salvation.
Yes.
You know, and have an internal view of all of that.
JT, great to have you on the show, man. Exciting times ahead for BYU basketball.
Basketball and the gospel. What else can I do? Where else can I do that?
This is BYU TV, baby. Let's go. Hey, baseball takes on number 19 Oklahoma State on the road tonight. Big series for the Cougs. Trying to work off that momentum against Utah. Nice walk-off win on Tuesday, 7 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
Up next, would you like to see BYU football play an international game again? Because they did it in Tokyo once upon a time.
Yeah.
Like to see them go abroad. Plus, will this series for BYU softball that starts today make or break their NCAA tournament chances? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We're on social media. You can follow us, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. And thanks for joining us on the stream today, or the pod, because graduation in the Marriott Center's got BYU.
Yeah. We're breaking rules because we're app only today.
Are we?
We're off protocol.
We are the most rule-abiding program in the country.
I'm Spencer Linton. He is Jaron Jordan. You know what time it is. Let's get to the headlines.
Day one of the NFL draft begins tonight, 8 Eastern, as Cougar hopefuls hope to hear their name this weekend. Kingsley Suamattia could be drafted as high as the first round tonight, perhaps tomorrow in rounds 2 and 3. It's a debate as to whether anyone else will be drafted this week.
BYU softball hosting Baylor in a critical series beginning today with a game that has been bumped up from Saturday to today, which means there will be a doubleheader. Game one starts at 4 Eastern. Game two will start approximately 30 minutes after the conclusion of game one. BYU and Baylor both enter this weekend series with 8-13 marks in Big 12 games. This kind of feels like only one of these two teams might get into an NCAA regional.
Baseball looks to build off a walk-off win versus Utah Tuesday as they take on number 19 Oklahoma State tonight, 7 Eastern on the road on Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. Also, pitcher Stone Cushing was named to the Stopper of the Year midseason watch list. Cushing has a 2.25 ERA, 32 Ks, 7 saves this season, tied for 12th nationally and tops in the Big 12.
Calling Cougar Nation in Rhode Island because the Big 12 has announced dates for the Big 12 Big East battle. As of this morning, BYU will play at Providence. We reported that the game would happen, but now we know it's Wednesday, December 4th.
There we go. Track and field hosts the Robinson Invitational today at the Clarence F. Robinson Outdoor Track and Field Complex. And Provo events go through Saturday.
BYU men's golf finishes 10th place at the Big 12 Championships yesterday. The Cougars were in first place after the first two rounds, but struggled late. Cooper Jones and Peter Kim helping BYU with top 30 individual finishes.
And former men's volleyball All-American Gabby Garcia Fernandez made the USA Volleyball Nations League player pool. He sat out the last 2 years of international competition due to switching from Puerto Rico to the United States. VNL begins May 22nd against Poland.
Those are today's headlines. Now for your opinions in the whip. The Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Yesterday, the Big 12 announced that Iowa State and Kansas State will play Farmageddon in Ireland in week zero in 2025. Do you want to see BYU play an international game again?
I would love to see that. The question is where? Like, Mexico and the Big 12 have some plans in place potentially to do some things.
For basketball.
Like, could BYU football and another team handle 8,000 feet of elevation in Azteca or whatever it is?
Mexico City.
Like, it's so high and the pollution's so bad.
Yeah.
Eric Winalda, U.S. men's soccer team member, mentioned one time, he's like, the air was so bad that I swear my eyes were bleeding when I ran out.
Well then. My mom lived there as a kid.
I would love to see BYU go international because it's a worldwide brand for sure, but where? That I don't know. Where?
Yeah, in 77, BYU won the WAC, but wasn't going to play on Sunday in the Fiesta Bowl. I didn't know that until today, by the way. So they played two exhibition games in what they called the Silk Bowl against Japanese all-star teams. Then the season finale in 78, they played December 2nd against UNLV and won in Yokohama. So there's your three games outside the U.S. I would love to see it. Like, and Ireland would be fun, and England or something would be great.
In like a sweet soccer stadium?
Yeah.
That would be super cool.
I'm assuming they're playing in the rugby stadium, Aviva.
Yeah.
For Ireland, who's the best team in the world.
Can you imagine them playing in some EuroLeague epic venue in England? That would be fantastic. In Manchester or something.
Oh. You mean Chelsea's Stamford Bridge?
Come on,
bro. Let's go. No, play at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. That's the one.
That's the most
legit.
Okay.
Like, newer, good, Premier League stadium.
Go Spurs. Hey, we showed you this photo of Dallin Hall playing golf earlier in the show.
Yeah, what's up?
That was posted by Creighton guard Steven Ashworth. Jeremy, what do you legitimately think happened on this next shot?
I'm guessing that Dallin just piped it to within 30 feet of the hole. That's what I think.
He's not like, I don't know. It's hard to tell how far away from the green he is.
I'm seeing 228.
Where's the yardage marker there?
Yeah, where's the stick?
I'm guessing he probably, because he's an athlete, ended up somewhere close to the fringe. There are notable yardage markers and grass that looks way better than that. In Provo,
that looked
at
like
some high-level courses.
That looked like it was early morning, little dew out there,
Let's get you on some elite tracks, Dallin. They're all over the state of Utah, St. George.
By we mean the Royal Blue Collection.
Midway, Park City, come on, man.
He comes back only because he got red ledges. BYU softball begins a three-game series against Baylor today. Is this a make-or-break series for the Cougars' regional hopes?
No, because they still have three games at Kansas, and Kansas is a top four Big 12 team, and so if BYU could, like, channel their Oklahoma power and go on the road and beat Kansas once, that would be a notable resume boost. But this feels like the most realistic shot for BYU to do something. If they win this series, Jerem, Baylor is a top 25 RPI team. I know RPI sucks, but it matters.
RPI.
It matters a lot in softball. BYU can win this series, and get to 10 regular season wins, regardless of what happens at Kansas, I think they're in great position to be on the right side of the bubble.
RPI only matters because they haven't thought of anything better in 40 years, Spencer.
We can 40, do better.
40 years.
We can do better in some of these Olympic sports.
Statisticians, give a crap about the other sports that aren't football, men, and women's basketball.
Please.
There is KPI in men's volleyball now. I appreciate it.
Yes, there is a metric out there in the softball world that's not official, but it kind of works more like the net.
What is it?
I'm trying to remember it off the top of my head. I'll find it for you.
It's another something?
Yes, it's a guy who just does like his own analytic, and I'm like, this is
that's
the most.
That's what stats end up being.
This is
KenPom was a guy doing
100%.
His own thing.
It's like the KenPom version
yes.
of softball.
Just give me more data points. They don't all have to matter.
For
just
sure.
The combination of that.
Let's make that official. Hey, yesterday, great news. Reggie Bush is welcome back in the Heisman house. Never should have been kicked out in the first
place.
You
think he's going to be in the commercial list?
I think you. Oh, they
I
have to. They have to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, hey, who's this guy?
Hey, yeah. Come on in.
Yes. Yeah.
But he's just got loads of cash.
Yes. Yes. Heisman Trophy is back in Reggie Bush's possession. So happy for him. So it prompts the question that with things changing the college football landscape and NIL, should BYU basketball get their vacated wins back, specifically Dave Rose?
I would like that. I don't personally count the vacation of those
neither
wins.
Neither do I.
When I do any BYU neither do sports, I. anything, pregame show, I'm mentioning something, I don't care.
It's the number with the wins.
Butter beer for everybody. All good.
Yes.
Jettas and but whatever that situation was. Still, I know that Nick had some comments at the time about the program and Pope and whatever. He's still one of us. Come on.
So glad
I
NIL
love
is
Come
a
on.
Thing and now searching VIN numbers in specific Volkswagen Jettas is not a thing anymore. Gosh.
Yes, that was so dumb.
After the break, Denver Broncos news, specifically the great Peyton Manning and former Bronco Mark Schlereth. Both have some strong opinions about Zach Wilson's fit in Denver. They are defending him, Jerem. Rather notably, if you didn't hear it, stay with us on BYUSN.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live on the app and we are live in Studio B. Commencement happening on BYU TV. Congratulations to all of the graduates, by the way.
And everyone in their Hogwarts robes.
Listen, we got work to do because we graduated from BYU, and thankfully we're back here. We got big things to talk about.
Oh, I still have a class.
This.
I got to.
Oh,
just kidding.
I was thinking about that this morning. So happy I don't have to take any more finals.
I did have a friend no that homework. Said, like, 5 years later, the testing center was like, hey, you bought a pencil and you owe us a quarter still.
Okay. Here it is. Gotta love the due diligence.
Do they still do Scantrons?
Have
they
no
still
idea.
Do Scantrons.
Scantrons, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Our students know.
Former Denver Broncos players and current NFL media personalities and legends specifically in Peyton Manning and Mark Schlereth of ESPN both went on a local radio station in the Mile High City yesterday and had some fascinating things to say about Zach Wilson and him being acquired by the Broncos. Let's start with ESPN's Mark Schlereth. When he had this to say about the former BYU quarterback and his talent compared to the quarterbacks in this year's NFL draft
class. This is wild.
Look, from a talent perspective, unbelievable. And now he's here. What does it do? Like the pressure to go grab a first rounder, to go get a first rounder that in all likelihood probably is going to fail anyway. What, don't you want the experience of failure to sit there and say, hey, man, now I'm going to coach you up, and now let's see what you can become? Like, if he's made of the right stuff, I don't know if he is. You don't know if he is. Nobody knows if he is. But I guarantee you, talent, if we're just evaluating talent, do I think he's more talented than pretty much every guy in this draft? Yep, I do.
Wow.
That is quite the statement, and I love Zach, but I don't agree. Like, Caleb, like, I take Caleb
he
Williams,
said pretty
right?
much every guy.
Okay, pretty much, yes. Zach is very talented. He's had 3 years in the NFL. We've seen the high. We've seen the low, right? Zach is somewhere in the middle. The reality is Zach is somewhere in the middle. I am excited, though, for his new opportunity, but that is quite the comment by Mark Schlereth. Trust me, I like it. I hope that Zach gets a chance and performs well.
He's saying don't draft a quarterback at number 12 because Zach Wilson has better talent than anybody they would be able to get at quarterback at number 12 because Caleb Williams is going to be off the board.
Oh, because top three or four.
Yes.
Okay, I see what he's saying.
So I actually agree with that.
Interesting. And he's got the experience. He's, Wilson in Denver. Let's ride.
Draft another offensive lineman.
Let's ride, baby.
Draft another offensive lineman and help the 21st best offensive line in Denver, which was better than the New York Jets.
They're going to take a quarterback, though. You'd think, right?
We'll see.
Like, that combination of it's either you, Zach, or you, Bo Nix, or whatever, or you, Jarrett Stidham. Like, one of you three needs to be the guy. And then, because if they're like, just go, I don't think they're going all in on Zach, though. I would be surprised. I would venture that they will grab a quarterback. I don't know.
At some point, I don't know if it's going to be in the first round, though.
Yeah. Will they like trade up to two and get Penix? Like, what will they do there? I don't know. Okay. If anybody knows good quarterback play, Peyton Manning.
Yep.
One of the greatest of all time. Listen to what he had to say about the Jets' offensive instability and how it hurt Zach Wilson.
The change of scenario for Zach Wilson, I think, is going to be a good one. I don't know how many coordinators he had in the time he was there, but I want to say it's at least two. It might have been three, Stoke. As you know, for a young quarterback, the best way to really, I think, screw a young quarterback up is to change coordinators on him every single year, and it drives me crazy. Look, I was very fortunate. I had an old school coach named Tom Moore, who was the coordinator the entire time I was there in Indianapolis, right? Tom Brady had different coordinators, right? Charlie Weiss, Josh McDaniels, Bill O'Brien, but it was the same system, right? Belichick said, hey, we're running the same exact system. So it's the same language, right? It's the same verbiage. You rep each play against different coverages, and you just learn those plays with the reps. And so, you know, look at Bryce Young for the Panthers, right? I mean, they fire his coaching coordinator in the middle of the season. He hadn't even played a full year, and he's already on his – I think he's going to be on his third coordinator this year. So, anyway, that drives me crazy. And so, look, I think it's a great chapter two for Zach. He will get coached hard here by Sean Payton and their staff, which is important for young quarterbacks to be coached hard. He's obviously very talented. He wouldn't have been drafted as high as he would. And actually, I've never met Zach, but I got his number yesterday from the Broncos and reached out to him and, you know, welcomed him to Denver and was excited for this new chapter. He sounds excited to be here. So hopefully it'll be a good fit.
That was Monday as things were going down.
That is.
So that was Peyton Tuesday, but he called Zach Monday.
That's quite the reference there from Peyton Manning.
That's awesome.
Like, and he makes a great point, something that I did not think a lot about, and that is, like, when you are changing coordinators and doing so as a young quarterback, and again, like, Nathaniel Hackett comes in for Aaron Rodgers, and the minute that Zach Wilson becomes the guy three plays into the season, Nathaniel Hackett throws out, like, 90% of his playbook. And it's, like, so watered down and boring, and it's, like, it was a travesty that they didn't at least try and open a few things up to Zach because they just handcuffed him severely. And so I'm so happy that a guy like Peyton Manning sees that Zach Wilson has talent, and he said he'll be coached hard, and he thinks it's a great second chapter. Those are Peyton Manning's words. Great second chapter for Zach Wilson.
He would as a Denver Bronco. He's hoping it goes well, given that he was in Denver. There were two coordinators, Mike LaFleur, 21 and 22, Nathaniel Hackett, as you mentioned, in 23. And so, yeah, that turnover can be difficult. Now he gets an opportunity with the head coach and Sean Payton, who they clearly want him. They traded for him.
They gave away nothing to get him to.
He's coached another BYU quarterback in Taysom Hill as well, and played to his strengths. Can he play to his Zach's strengths? And Sean Payton developed Drew Brees to a great degree, obviously. A guy who was a little undersized, who's going to be a Hall of Famer. That relationship was important.
Whose numbers were not good as a San Diego Charger as well. It's fun to see that split screen.
It'd be great for Zach to get a chance and obviously thrive. We will watch with bated breath and see what they do in the draft tonight. But
those
are flattering comments from Flair and Manning.
Yes.
Jeez.
Up next, what do you believe is the top priority for BYU men's basketball right now? Your elite response of the day next. This is BYU Essence.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. What is the top priority for BYU basketball and head coach Kevin Young right now? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, coming in from at CA Franchise on X, who says, assistant coaches number one, players two, scheme three, ice cream four.
Nice. I like that.
Today's Rises shout out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Hey, to all the graduates of BYU, that's pretty cool. It's a day to celebrate and be excited that you have no homework and you can now watch Netflix at your desire.
Yay! They did that anyway, let's be honest. Our thanks to today's guest, Jonathan Tavernari.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time. Dennis graduated from BYU, which is pretty cool.
He did.
Yeah.
Took a little bit, but he did it.
Made time for the academic part.
And he got into the Hall of Fame when he did it.
Yeah.
For Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Lipton. Shout out to Owen Potchman, kicker that was drafted. Let's go, Rico. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs.